was an iPhone and not an Android, Brother Jason. Amen. Man. Well, made it to this part of the service. You guys didn't take over. Yeah, doing things different. Go ahead and have everybody stand up. We'll all change places in our seats. Y'all can change purses. No, I'm teasing. Maybe somebody will get lucky and hit the jackpot tonight. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for the Lord tonight. How about you? Amen. I want to read a poem to you before I get started here this evening. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. This is the prayer of an unknown Confederate soldier. The thing is, just felt impressed to read this to us, because sometimes we want things in life and we don't understand why they don't ever transpire. Why is it Job? Pastor mentioned Job. Why is it Job had to go through all the things that he had to deal with? You know, the loss of his children, the loss of his property, the loss of friends. But in the midst of everything Job went through, I want you guys to grab a hold of this before I get into my message tonight. After everything Job went through, what it ultimately did is it brought others closer to God. Now, I want you to look at the situation that you are faced with, no matter what it may be. This situation might not be, it's not something necessarily something that we've done wrong or you've done wrong. Sometimes we are just given something that's not necessarily pleasant, not necessarily to benefit us or something that we've done wrong, but it's to draw others closer to God, to show the strength that we can begin to bring forth that's not of our own, that comes from somewhere else. Amen. That comes from heaven above. Amen. Some of the young people made mention of the lesson we had in Encounter Service last Tuesday, and I really felt impressed to use the same text, going a little bit different direction. So, young people, don't tune me out if you hear me say something that you've already heard. There's things in here that you haven't. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse number 11, still going to take the same text. Different title tonight. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, when you have it, if you would stand. Amen. Does anybody know anybody by the name of Og? Anybody? Have their buddy down the road that's named Og? No? Okay. Just don't want to hurt your feelings tonight. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, 13.5 feet tall, in case you were wondering, or long. And 4 cubits was the breadth of it, which means it was 6 feet wide. After the cubit of a man. Amen. We're going to stop right there. And going to simply try to preach to us a little bit tonight about something the Lord laid on my heart on Thursday night. And change this title to simply this: Facing My Giant. And that guy looks pretty burly up there, doesn't he? Yeah. Now, that gentleman there, the little man, little fella, notice what all he's wearing. This isn't David. This is a resemblance of the armor that we are to wear. I want us to grab a hold of this. This image has more than just the giant, but it's about what are we carrying into the fight? Facing my giant. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon the hearts of your people. Move in my mind, my lips, Lord. Let me speak the things that you've placed in my heart. I pray that you help me to convey the things and the thoughts that you put in me. Lord, as I begin to bring forth your word, I pray that you'd anoint these altars, God, that we would make it a place of a sacrifice and offering, giving back to you, Lord, as you are working things in our hearts and our lives. I pray that you'd bless your people. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read a few more verses. Amen. Leading up to this. But I want to, before I get into that, I want you to realize that Og was a big guy. He was a big, bad dude. And, I mean, anybody here ever laid in a 13-and-a-half-foot bed that was 6 foot wide? You know, that's almost as big as the 16-foot trailer, Brother Jason. That's a pretty big fella, you know. Imagine carting him around. The projects that could be done with no trouble or struggle at all. But this man, this king, King Og, he was the last of the giants. He was the last remnant. We find that he dwelled in a place called Bashan. Does anybody know what that means? This was a place that was named after how fruitful and fertile the soil was. It was a place of fruitfulness. Evidently, it grew a giant. Now we find in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse number 1, I'm going to read a few verses just to give us some history before I go down through here. Then we turned and went up the way of Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan came out against us and all his people to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og, also the king of Bashan, and his people. And we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities. At that time, there was not a city which we took not from them. 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan, all these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, besides unwalled towns, a great many. This fella had ruled in such a way that every place, every city that he took captive, notice what he did around them. He built them up high and made the walls thick and made the gates difficult to move unless it was moved by many. I want us to begin to realize that there is a giant that we must face. Anybody here ever watched the film Facing the Giants? I'm not the only one. If you haven't, you ought to watch it again. It's pretty good. Get you inspired. You watch that right before you come to church. It will empower you. Why is that? Because it's the Word of God in action. Sometimes we do better when we see things in action. Now, King Og was a fella of action. He went about conquering. And we can look back whenever the children of Israel went in to spy out the land. What is it that they said? We are like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, I should have brought something that was 13-and-a-half-foot tall so you guys could look at the resemblance against that next to London. Well, these walls right here on the sides, close to 12 foot, he was taller than that. He'd had been out here about where this register is here, somewhere in this vicinity right here. That was the top of his noggin. Yeah, about where the top of the speakers are, a little higher than that. He was a big fella. There is things in our life that we allow to lord over us. and we create a giant. Now, if we were all to have a mirror in our pocket, I would ask you all to pull it out, which you all got cell phones. You can pull your phone out, leave the screen off, and look at the face of it. It kind of resembles a mirror. That thing that you're looking into that's looking right back at you is our giant. We are, talk ourselves out of doing more things for God. You're like, oh, no, I don't. Oh, yes, we do. The smallest things we talk ourselves out of doing, Brother Kennard, because we think somebody else will do it. What are we doing? We are minimizing our value in the kingdom. Now, Og had quite the kingdom. He had a giant bed. He had a giant cup that he probably drank out of. He had all these things that were giant. And all of those things did not hinder God's army. Why is that? Let me go back here in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9. This is where the promise first came forth to Joshua personally. He said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter where we go, God is with us. The same promise that he made the children of Israel is the same promise that we can stand on. Why? Because we are the children of God. We want to allow ourselves to be surrounded by so many giants that they have no business there, they have no place, and they have no procedure in which they should be acting on. But we continue to give them the needs that they need in order to keep us captive, to keep us behind the walls, to keep us behind the gates, to keep us living in fear. What is it that David said when he heard Goliath letting out the threats against the children of Israel and talking bad about God? He said, is there not a cause that this man, this uncircumcised Philistine, keeps railing on our God? I'm paraphrasing here tonight. And what began to happen is David began to have courage, saying, this old boy might be somebody where he comes from, but where I'm at and the place in which he stands is a place where I've seen God do delivering actions before. But so many times we babysit our giants. I'm not discrediting any giant that you might have in your life, but we try to pacify them. And we live with them. Because in the realm where there is a giant, there is always a little bit of fear. Because we're afraid if we get rid of that giant, what's going to take its place? Because we're comfortable with our giant. We know his request. We know how to appease the giant. So, because we know those things, we decide to just reside with the giant. Have you got a picture of who your giant is yet tonight? Very easy to become a prisoner of a giant. I want to read you a story. I shared this with the young people. During the 14th century, Reinald III was a duke in what is now Belgium. As a result of a violent quarrel, Reynold's younger brother Edward successfully revolted against him. When Edward captured Reynold, he built a room around him featuring windows and a door, and promised him that the day that he left the room, his title and property would be returned to him. The problem with this arrangement was that Reynold was grossly overweight and could not fit through any of the openings in his room. Edward knew that his older brother could not control his appetite. and sent him the best food every day. As you may imagine, Reynold grew fatter during this time. Anytime someone accused the Duke Edward of treating Reynold cruelly, he said, "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills." Reynold stayed in that room for 10 years and wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. By then, his health was so ruined that he died within a year. But he was a prisoner of his own appetite. Just as Reynold was enslaved by his appetite, sin will enslave all who will yield to it. This story gives us a great picture of being captivated, but yet seeing freedom. There are giants that we must face, and our giants, so many times, are difficult to deal with because it's something, Brother Jason, that we become comfortable with. And the danger with becoming comfortable is you start losing all of your sensors of the urgency of the danger that so quickly approaches. When is it that a python or an anaconda begins to catch its biggest prey? It's when its prey is asleep. What happens when we get comfortable? I've watched some of us here in this church get comfortable before. Sister Pepper was saying, "Let's all be still," and I'm like, "Oh no, don't say that." I seen Robert back there, he was starting to kick his feet back. Not really. We get sleepy. You're saying, "I wish you'd hurry up so I could go home and go to bed." I'm going to do my best. The enemy wants to keep us docile. Anybody here ever met Max? Is Max docile? Mimi, if you're watching, is Max docile? No. Max is my friend. He's my buddy. Max likes me. He don't like a lot of people. I don't know why. He's got a good judge of character. Leave that out there for y'all to think about. Max has got a little issue in his eye, and so in order to make him docile enough in order to medicate, put a muzzle about his nose, his mouth, keeping him from latching on to you. Now, that's what the enemy wants to keep us in that stance of being docile. He can keep us from opening our mouth, from raising our hands. We were singing a wonderful song in church tonight. Let every praise be to our God. Isn't that correct? That's how it goes. And, you know, it's easy to sing it. But what would happen if we would live it? As long as the enemy knows he's got a muzzle or a choker chain about your neck, he knows he ain't got nothing to worry about. Here's some giants we must face. Hold with me here tonight. I promise it's fixing to get really fast and I'll wrap up. The giant, doubtful. Anybody ever look at a situation and say, "Man, it's doubtful if this is going to work out in their favor"? Where God starts to move and then all of a sudden we become doubtful that it's even going to happen because we haven't seen it in so long. We have the giant frustration for being frustrated. I have this giant that I have to deal with every time I get behind the wheel of my vehicle. I am always frustrated because somebody didn't go. Somebody didn't use their blinker. Somebody cut me off. I have to fight this giant, Sister Cindy, all the time because it's just me constantly. Like Jack and the Beanstalk here, the giant's coming down the beanstalk, and I'm down here trying to cut the beanstalk down. But Jason, it usually don't work. I'm like, "Lord, you got to help me." He's trying to help me, but I'm still fighting that giant, being frustrated. I can't stand it when I tell somebody to go grab something, and they come back, "Oh, ain't there." I have to go out there, and right where I said it was, there it be. This is another one of my pet peeves. I say, hey, Titus, go get that Kleenex box over there. What is it that frustrates me? Walk slower. There you go. I want him to run. Hurry, I need the Kleenex box. All right, you don't have to get it. Frustrations. How many in here has got frustrations in your life? Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than sitting in the house of God dealing with a frustration because of what somebody else is doing across the pew from you. Because what happens is we allow that to be our giant. And whenever we erect that giant, we allow him to stand in the path where God wants us to be. I'm preaching to me tonight. If this hits on you, hey, it's free. I didn't charge an admission when you walked in. But there is so easy to allow that giant of frustration to come up. This next one is a difficult one because it depends on our personality. How many of you here has ever taken a personality trait test? How many of y'all know who you are? Okay, those of you that haven't, I challenge you to take one because it will help you realize things that you probably ought to try and overcome. And every once in a while, my lovely wife will remind me, hey, your 8 wing is coming out pretty strong, honey. You better cut, you're being a little bit of a 1. Because it's our way of gently reminding each other of the giant that I'm allowing in my way. So let me talk to you here for just a minute. This one here is difficult. How many in here tonight have ever struggled with loneliness? Because what follows loneliness? Depression. What is the number one killing agent in the spiritual world of the church today? You know what that is? People get depressed because they don't feel like there's any help in the church. So what they do is they go out into the world. And when you go out into the world, they involve themselves in so many other things because of loneliness. This one, next one here is another difficult one for us to chew on. Bitterness. The giant bitterness. I'm just mad because this didn't go where I wanted it to go. They didn't sing my song. Why did they testify about that? I'm just so frustrated right now. I could kick rocks. Well, do it with your shoes off. It'll remind you of the pain you're causing someone else. I'm serious. We raise up all these giants that have no business in our life. Now, we've got to get rid of them. We've got to face them. We've got to take them out. But what I find is we don't have to do it by ourselves. Why is that? And I'm going to go back and do some positive statements here in just a minute, but I want us to realize what we can use to conquer the giants in our life. The Word says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Realize the enemy that you are fighting is one that can be beat. Amen. Remember, the enemy that you are fighting is someone that can be beat because he has already been defeated. He's like an old sore that just tries to keep coming up. But you just got to remind him that my Lord and my Savior came back from the pits of hell with the keys to your house. And buddy, you are locked out. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm going to read the rest of that here in just 1 second. But we've got to remember, in order to fight, we got to get up. We got to break out our weaponry. So I'm stuck in doubt, being doubtful, frustrated, lonely, and bitter because I've got to deal with this situation. Let me tell you something. If you will grab a hold of determination and you will realize that you have been given favor, all of a sudden fellowship with God Almighty and believers around about you will all of a sudden unlock understanding in the midst of your situation. Why? Because I serve a God that has fully equipped me. It's just up to me to grab a hold of what He has provided. I find that we've got to gird our loins with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What is it this old boy here is wearing? He's got his sword, his shield, his breastplate, got his boots on. He's ready to face that which is coming against him. So many times we wonder, why is it I'm being attacked? Why is it? Help me, Lord. Why is it I just feel so doubtful today? You know, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. Now, there are some people in this room that can hide a burden better than any of the rest of us. And just shoulder it and go on. But there is other people in here that can't. But a lot of us, whenever we can't shoulder the burden, we lack doing one thing sometimes. That's asking for help. People commit suicide because they're afraid to reach out. What are they going to think about me whenever I tell them this is what I'm going through? Let me tell you what they're going to think about you. They're going to see the strength that you have to confess your situation. You know, it takes more strength to talk about a struggle than it does to hide the struggle. It brings forth the strength. Now, you got to remember, you got a giant that wants to smash you. But let me tell you, if you will go ahead and conquer that giant, you will be able to take the place in which he grew so fruitfully, and he began to become abundant. And all of a sudden, God will begin to bless you. Why? Because you have went and conquered the very thing that was set against you. God did not create you to be under the thumb. He called you to be the head. Amen. He called you to be the one on top. We got to quit letting the devil drag us around. Amen. By the edge of our ear, from place to place, saying, well, you're just going to deal with this. And you're going to have to fight with that. I'm here to tell you, it's time to put our foot down. Say, is there not a cause for my freedom? Is there not a cause for me to be happy? Is there not a cause for me to have fellowship? I'm here to tell you tonight that God has given us a calling to get up off our duff and become more than conquerors. He has called us to go into all the world. Say, well, there ain't no world for me to visit. Look at your neighbor. They need somebody. Look at the person on the pew next to you. They need somebody that's going to be the one that says, hey, you might be fighting a a giant today, but guess what, buddy? I'm right behind you. Amen. If you need something, I'm here. We've got to begin to pull together and fight. The heel of God is as the heel of Bashan. An high heel as the heel of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high heels? This is the heel which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led the captives captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Selah. Do you know what that means? Selah? It means stop, meditate, go ahead and have a little shout in time on what God's promised you. A lot of times, Sister Pepper, we pause, but we pause for the wrong reasons. I can remember growing up in church. Altars would be full halfway through preaching. Preacher just keep right on going. Though Jason, church would be done and over with sometimes. And all of a sudden, somebody in the back corner would just start hooping and hollering and giving God praise, and it happened all over again. Brother Robert, you know why we don't see that anymore? We've got a giant called schedule. Church is over. Time to go. You don't have time to fellowship. No. Am I hitting anybody here tonight? If not, come here, Brother Robert. It's time that you pick up your weapon of warfare. You cut down your shyness. We wonder why we don't have diversity sometimes in our churches. Let me tell you why. We've got something else that's dragging us about. We're scared to talk to somebody if they don't look like us. They're different. Ethnic group. I just don't know if I can do that. They don't speak very much English, so I can't talk to them. They need Jesus. Next thing, do you have an empty spot in your pew? It's time to kill that giant. Say, well, I'm just too shy, Brother Lucas. Hey, let me tell you, after about the third person you talk to, you'll be over that shyness because of the joy that will fill your heart. I know I'm going long. I got to wrap this up. There's many giants in the Bible. We know of a bunch of them. We know that there was Goliath. He had some brothers. We know that there was another one that was killed by David's nephew that had 12 toes and 12 fingers. Can you imagine being that old boy, buying a pair of shoes for him? Had to have them babies custom made. Realize that victory is in your hands. I want to read these sections, verses right here, honey, if you get ready to come to the piano. Sometimes we forget the power in which we have in our possessions. We got to remember that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, who he hath called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember who you are. We forget so easily. I'm going to read these verses. At any given time that you feel like you're ready to come and stand and worship, whatever you want to do, I want you to tap into that, because you've got to want to face your giant for yourself. It's up to you to draw your weapon. Say, all right, I might not have much. Brother Jason, I'm going to give it my all. Say, well, I ain't got a sword. I ain't got a spear. Let me tell you, I read some places in the Bible where some of them old boys didn't have nothing but an ox goat and they went to fighting. Something to prod cattle along. Find there's one, went in and took out the giant, took his spear, find another one, David used the sword on Goliath. Said, I ain't got nothing. Grab hold of some faith. The earth. Realize, where are we at right now? We're in the earth. Nobody here is in space that I know of. Sometimes we might look like it, like way out there in space. The earth is the Lord's. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Oh, he rules the earth. He's the principalities and the powers of the air, not the earth. What's he got? What do we have to do when we reach heaven? Well, grab a hold of this. Visualize this with me. What is it that we have to go through to get to heaven? We pierce through the atmosphere. What is it the enemy's the most afraid of? It's what's going to come down from the atmosphere. The earth is the Lord and his fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, that is us, for he hath founded it upon the sea and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Where's that hill? Just talked about it. Bashan. Or who shall stand in his holy place? Talking of Sinai. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. What is it that's going to cut down? What is it that's going to get rid of deceitfulness and doubt and lowliness and bitterness? It's that King. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth in which we reside. So many times we forget. We sit on our hands. We don't clap them. Why? Because we're not excited. We're not glad. I may tell you, you want your joy back? God can give it to you. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us and the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. How is he coming? With the sound of that trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God setteth upon the throne of his holiness. The prince of his people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Got to face my giant. Somebody's life here tonight, it might be giants. But if they were to draw my DNA to see in whom I belong to, they would find that Mark Jason Sanders is my father. And Tammy K. Goff Sanders is my mother. But I would hope that they would find something in their Sister Pepper that's unexplainable. Same thing that was unexplainable that came from Elisha. When they done thought Elisha had done been shortchanged, down in the midst of a pit that somebody called a graveyard, then all of a sudden an old boy that was dead fell down on them bones, and them DNA that was in them bones still registered that there was some power of God Almighty. What would happen if we would tap in to the power of God Almighty and let Him work through us and through someone else when we begin to pray in faith? Stand tonight. Come to this altar. I've given you my heart, done my best. I want you to know, come on, come to the altar. Just let me talk to you for just a minute as you come. God is not done. Whatever you're going through, whatever giant that is in your way, it is time, I say it is high time, that you identify it and that you slay it. See, I can't slay it by myself. That's okay. There's people in this church that would pray with you. Say, well, I experience these problems at night. Let me tell you, there are people that want to see you conquer, not be conquered. Grab a hold of faith. Allow fellowship and understanding be your drive. Because when we are bound together in unity, we are unstoppable.